got Marty Walsh coming up here, the new executive DA or director of the NHLPA.
Technically an O and I.
I was going to say, this guy's your new top dog. You guys are members of the union, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's lifetime, and we're both vested. O had 800 games. I was eight, same thing, like eight something.
Mm-hmm.
Eight and change. So we're alumni, NHLPA alumni members.
All right. There you go. So this guy's representing your interests.
Love it.
When he comes on, we'll specifically ask about what he can do for you.
Yeah, what's he going to do for retired players?
Yeah.
Yes, more funds. Start up a fund. Retired player fund.
Yes. Needs to happen. Needs to happen.
Again, they've done some pretty good things for retired, for the alumni, and they've got an emergency fund. They got a lot of good things. I was a player rep for a bit. And
yeah.
I enjoyed it, but, oh, you always tell that famous story, and I was there that day where it was like, it almost turned into a brawl and a fist fight. Was that here? That was here in Toronto, right? During the lockout.
Every guy in the league was in the room. And just some younger guys were like, maybe we should think about a salary cap. And then they were just told to shut up.
What did we do?
We got, it was like, sit down and shut up. I've been doing this too long to listen to your crap. And they were like, okay, thank you. And then it was like, we got a salary cap. It was the most bizarre thing. I'll be honest, I just sat and drank beers and I didn't even know what was going on. I'm like, what the hell am I even doing here? I was just looking to see if I was fatter than everyone else.
Yeah.
There was one guy that showed up that was stunningly huge.
That guy's got me. Like, that guy's really fat.
That's all you need. You need one guy who's in worse shape.
There was a buzz in the room when one guy walked in. Guys were like, holy smokes, he's not making it back this year. If we play, he's not making it back.
He's voting no cap.
Oh, for sure.
he is dying on that hill.
He's voting like done for the season.
Yeah.
For sure.
I will retire if there's a salary cap.
I remember the
buzz. Hayes, you know that my last straw, I was sitting at a pub in Carolina, and I'm like, you better cancel the whole thing, you bastard, because there's no way.
Yeah.
There is no way I can go back.
That is terrifying, isn't it?
You know when somebody walks in and there's just like a hush, like a hole, like, I don't know what it is. Like a celebrity walks in the room and it's just like, oh my God, that's whoever. This guy walked in and people were just dumbfounded as to like, is that who I think it is?
What has this cat been doing
with his time off? A scene. I remember I was sitting with a couple guys from Calgary and Steve Montador, who's passed and was a good friend of mine. And I remember Monty like kicking me under the table going like, look at over there. And it was just a scene.
Just wheeling in for the meeting, boys.
Oh,
what do we think? Are we voting yes or no? How do we feel about
that?
That
guy was voting no the rest of his life.
Well, I'd be curious. We'll ask Marty this. It's such a weird relationship between, whoever's the head of the NHLPA and Bettman. And Bettman's been on the job for 30 years, and there have been a number of new faces.
Right.
Like, you're talking back in that day, it was Bob Goodnow that was running the ship.
Saskin, there's all these
Saskin came in, you had Paul Kelly come in, you had Fear for a long time. Actually, Donald Fear was running the PA for a long time. And you know the way it goes. When you get towards the CBA, Bettman claims the league is in serious trouble, and we can't survive, and we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
But then when he's in Ottawa, which he was this week, he said, man, we're thriving. The league's never been better. We're going to get $1 billion for the Ottawa Senators. Like, how do you possibly juggle that if you're the PA executive director? Because
don't you think you have a PR guy that just takes all those little...
Don't you have to clip it?
You just clip it and go, for negotiations. Yeah. And then when you walk
in... We're thriving, man.
You walk in and you play that when you're across the table and Gary Bettman's going, yeah, we're close to a $6 billion business. Okay, let's start. Let's see where we're at.
You said when you were in Seattle and they were coming into the league, in Vegas and Ottawa. And because it's always, hey, everything's the best. Never been better. We're flying. We're making money. This team's going to sell. And then the second the CBA's up, we suck. We have nothing, and we're in big trouble.
League's struggling.
I may have to fold.
I guarantee you, if I was Marty Walsh, just clip those things.
Yes.
Gary Bettman says the league has never been better.
Yeah.
$6 billion business. Just use that in your negotiation. Slide that across the table.
In a good place. Yeah, absolutely. Well, here he is, the new NHLPA executive director, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Marty Walsh. How you doing, Marty?
Hey guys, how are you? And I want to thank you very much for helping me out with the collective bargaining. It's really helpful to have you guys help me.
Yes. Yeah, we'll send the invoice. I don't know who we send that invoice to, but believe me, we will.
We'll figure it out.
Yes, exactly. Well, you got two guys on this show that they're members of the PA. They played in the league for a long time, and I'm curious if you have any, you know, relationship with Gary Bettman. Obviously, it will begin today. But prior to you taking the gig, how familiar are you with Bettman and, you know, kind of what he represents as the commissioner of the league?
Yeah, I met Gary a couple times when I was the mayor of Boston. The NHL dedicated a street hockey rink in the city at one point, and they did a big presentation with the Bruins back then. And then I met him during the Stanley Cup Finals a few years ago in the city. And then last week, my first week, I was able to sit down with Gary and his team for a half hour. We had a good conversation. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot that I have to learn moving forward here, and obviously, I'm very new to him, and he's fairly very new to me. So there's a lot we have to learn from each other.
Marty, who do you want to hear from? Obviously, there's a lot of guys in the league, and you can't touch base with all of them, but you want to get together with a few of the prominent players and just get some thoughts and idea of where the general headspace is of some prominent guys, or what's your approach going to be?
Well, actually, my approach is going to be to try and meet every guy in the league. You know, I know I'm coming in at a very busy time, meaning that there's a playoff run going on here. Teams are very caught up in the playoffs, and then the playoffs are going to be starting in a couple weeks here, and obviously, you know, it's going to be tough timing. But I'm going to do, when the search committee, when I met with them, one of the things I said to them was that I intend on getting to know every player in the league. It's, 700 plus players, but a good union leader, a good leader of an organization knows his membership, and I plan on getting to know the players and talking to them, obviously the high profile players as well, but I'm going to talk to them all. And today I had a press conference, and you guys probably saw it, a lot of questions about the collective bargaining agreement. We're a bit away from that, so I have an opportunity to really kind of get a feel for what the players are going to look for long term. When you talk about collective bargaining and you talk about a contract, it is really forward-looking, and it can be locked in anywhere from in this last contract is going on for a long time, with the exception of having a conversation around COVID and returning back to hockey. So, there's a lot to talk about. Some of these players, they've never gone through good negotiating, collective bargaining, and there'll be a whole group of new players in the league by the time that happens. So I think it's really important for me not to focus on 30 players to set the tone. It really is about having a conversation with all the players.
Marty, obviously you're transitioning from, politics and being a union leader into being a union leader of sport. Do you anticipate that being a tough transition, or are you going to use kind of the same philosophy you've always had in your career previous?
No, I think it's the same philosophy. I mean, listen, I think when you're talking about collective bargaining agreement, regardless who you're negotiating for, you could be negotiating for railroad workers, and within that contract, there are many different levels of salary and experience. Office employees, construction workers, police, fire, EMS, hockey players, basketball, whoever it is. I mean, collective bargaining is collective bargaining, and it sets the tone for the workplace for the future. And it is about, it's about working rules and conditions. It's about obviously salary, but it's also about work rules. So, I mean, I think that what I've learned over time, over my years, in all my different roles I've had, there are a lot of similarities, and there are some differences. I mean, I've never negotiated a contract before where there's a salary cap, but I've negotiated contracts where people are looking for raises. So, I mean, there's different pieces of negotiating and bargaining, but at the end of the day, it's the premise of it, collective bargaining, is all the same.
We're chatting with Marty Walsh, the new executive director of the NHLPA, and most recently, you were the Secretary of Labor in the U.S., so working under the President Joe Biden. Now, obviously, you're with the PA. Do you anticipate the players and politicians, is there any similarities there in terms of, getting them on the line, getting them in line, trying to get everyone on the same page, hockey players and politicians?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, everyone has different philosophies and different ideas and different things that are important to them. And sometimes there's differences within organizations. And I think the key to being a strong, effective leader is to be able to take all the different ideas and come up with a consensus. So as we go into any type of negotiation or bargaining, that we're on the same page. I think that that's key, and that's why I think for me, I have the benefit of a couple of years here to be able to kind of, you know, go around, talk to the players and hear everyone's opinion and then to go back and talk to them again about, you know, what are going to be important for us moving forward as an organization. I think that's going to be key. You have different people, and as far as politics, I mean, listen, I come out of the Democratic Party, and when I was the mayor, one of my best buds or closest buds was Governor Baker of Massachusetts, Republican. When I was the Secretary of Labor, I worked pretty well, I think, mostly with people across the aisle. And sometimes you have disagreements with your own side. So, you know, politics is, people view politics that can be described in many different ways. But I think that, you know, what I try to pride myself in is getting to compromise and working across different philosophies.
So if you left a message for Joe Biden to call you back, and then right afterwards you left a message for Connor McDavid to call you back, who do you think you hear from first?
Who do I hear from first? Yeah. It depends. If Connor McDavid has a hockey game or in the middle of a playoff run, I'm probably hear from the president first. I don't know, but hopefully they both call me back if I call them.
Right, that's a pretty good Rolodex, I would say, with Marty Walsh, the new executive director of the NHLPA. So again, it's early days. You've just been on the job here for a while, but are you picking up on a primary concern? Like, is there one primary objective that you're sensing the players really want you to attack?
No, not yet. I mean, I've been on literally just my second week now, and, you know, the staff at the PA is strong and really committed to the players, and that's half the battle right there when you have an office that's committed to supporting the players. So the players need to know that the people in this office really are about them and their families and their livelihood and working for them. So I think that's a very good start here at the PA. When it comes to the players, you know, I think that, you know, I've met with I don't know, a couple dozen players now at this point, minus the search committee and the executive board. And they're curious about me. They don't know who I am, really. They know, they Google me, or they know a little bit about me. They know from the executive board members on each team and the player reps telling them about me. But they really don't know who I am or what I'm all about. So, getting to know them is really going to be important. And I've had some really great conversations. And, you know, we haven't dove into anything real deep yet. I mean, different issues have come up in my conversations, but nothing that is like, oh man, we have to work on this right now because I've heard it from 35 different players. That has not come up yet.
You have to park any type of allegiance, given that you've got the Bruins and have had them in your backyard for many years?
That's a question, I guess. When Connor McDavid calls me, I'll have to have that conversation with him.
Yes.
Exactly.
You should. Or I would think that's more Matthews and, you know, yeah, people at Toronto and Tampa, like the Bruins. Bruins are rolling, yeah, man. It's obviously, we're not telling you anything you don't know, Marty.
Yeah, they're rolling. They're playing well, you know, and, you know, obviously, yeah, they're playing well. I'll just leave it right there. I got to remember I'm on a Toronto radio station, not a Boston radio station.
Yeah, be careful here. Be careful.
Exactly. Marty, I wanted to ask you, like, whose radar did you pop up on? Like, did someone just send you a note out of the blue? Like, how were you found? With all due respect to your popularity or whatever you were doing in the past, how did you pop up on someone's radar?
Yeah, I got reached out to by the search firm that was doing the search here. I think they had received my name from somebody, and they reached out to me and asked me if I'd be interested in having a conversation. I said, it's not something that, you know, if I'm stealing this line from Governor Baker because he's at the NCAA right now. But if somebody asked me, you know, write down 50 potential careers you want to do, being the executive director of the NHLPA was not one I would have put down. Not that I didn't want it, that I didn't think it was possible. So when they reached out to me, I said, absolutely interested in looking. And then they sent me the job description of what they were looking for. And really, when I saw that, I said to myself, you know, there's everything on this list. Has indirectly or directly I've have been part of. Now, obviously, I've never represented professional athletes before, but I've dealt with marketing, I've had collective bargaining experience, I've had all those different areas, I've represented union members, I've been involved in arbitrations and all of that other stuff. So it looked, on paper, for me anyway, looking at it, it seemed like it was a good opportunity and potentially a good fit. And then we started having conversations with the, search committee. And, you know, these players were dedicated to this process for a while, for a good bit now. And, we had great conversations and I felt pretty good. And I just kept having conversations with them and talking, you know, one-on-one or with a group of them. And, it kind of just took off from there.
So the idea of growing the game is obviously very beneficial for the players because they're getting 50% of the pie. You know, you do the math, the pie continues to grow. There's more money there for all the players. So how much of your time is going to be directed towards that, the idea of growing the game and possibly getting your players and your union to maybe be more engaged in certain areas where even if the players don't want to do it, if it's going to benefit them financially, you know, it's maybe incumbent on you to try to push them in that direction.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I mean, I've had a couple conversations with a couple owners now, and one of them said to me, you know, I'm excited that you have the opportunity to help us with this game and market this game and get involved on kind of on the business side of the game as the player, as the AD of the NHLPA. And I thought that was a great statement by him. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity. I think these players, you know, they love their sport. They're good at their craft. And I think that anything we can do to expand the game of hockey, you know, in the United States, in Canada, or around the world is something that we have to be very cognizant of and be very active in. I know that generally, I guess, in the past, there's been roles. The PA has one role. The league has another role. But I think in growing the game, there's a partnership that has to happen. It's not, you cover this, we'll take care of that. I think it's absolutely working, in some cases, collectively together to expand the game of hockey.
All right, Marty, we'll get you out of here with a layup. You know, based on your days as the mayor in Boston, you were the mayor for quite a while. Like, how many parades were you a part of, even leading up to your actual, you know, mayor's office? Like, were you a parade guy? Because it's been a pretty good 20 years in Boston.
Yeah, I had five parades in my time as mayor, I was a third period away from a sixth, so I'll leave it there.
Okay, yes, we can leave it there. He is Marty Walsh, the executive director of the NHLPA. And, you know, welcome aboard, obviously. Good luck with the gig, and congrats on it, and thanks for doing this today. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Talk to you soon, hopefully.
You got it. There's Marty Walsh joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com.
I wonder if he negotiates wicked hard.
Wicked hot.
That's a Bostonian right there, man. That guy's voice right out of the gate.
I love it.
This guy is from Boston. Like, that dude is a Boston guy.
All I think of is Goodwill Hunting. You know, like, that's...
Yeah, the Departed, Goodwill Hunting.
Isn't it one, the Town?
The Town.
That one is...
Town's a really good movie.
That's a sick flick.
It's
the Town.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's Ben Affleck, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the bank robber, right?
Yeah, then guy, don't they rob Fenway in that movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they robbed Fenway.
That's the last part
of
the movie.
Jeremy Renner in that too?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Didn't Jeremy Renner have like a bad accident?
Really bad accident.
He got hit by a snowplow in Nevada somewhere or something, and he was in bad shape.
Really bad shape. I think he like saved his niece or something. Like, it was like a plow was driving through and he grabbed her and got her out of the way, and he got hit and hit pretty badly. Like, he survived. I think they've got an interview coming out with him soon, actually.
Yeah, like, I'm just reading it right now. Like, literally, Jeremy Renner gives first interview since snowplow accident. That was one day ago. So, yeah, it's coming out right away.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good in that movie, man. Those are good movies.
Yeah.
Like, Goodwill Hunting, I think, is at the top.
One of my, like, it's actually
a phenomenal movie.
It's my top five.
Yeah,
sure.
It's a phenomenal movie. But The Departed is that's a Scorsese movie, too.
Yeah. Either way.
Can't go wrong.
No.
But yeah, Marty Walsh.
Marty Walsh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's your executive director. He works for you guys now.
I look forward to meeting him. You know, like, he seems like, in reading a statement from Joe Biden saying he's a tough negotiator, and like, he's like all business, it seems like. But I like his philosophy. Like, instead of going against the NHL, you should be working with them to grow the game. I agree.
That's like, it. Like, it's in that, you know, it's too early to know exactly where that goes or what that means. But I look at the All-Star game, the participation by the players, as just one example. Like, maybe if you guys show that you care, maybe it grows more and there's more money there.
Right.
Maybe if, you know, if you're willing to be mic'd up more, if you're like, there's different elements that I'm sure are difficult conversations. And a bunch of guys will just simply say, no, I'm not doing it. And you got to, there's nothing Marty can do. He works for the players. But if you can find some of them that say yes, and it just opens different avenues, I think that's a good sign.
You know what it is, though? You've got to get the right ones to say yes. Like, you've got to get the star power on board.
Yeah, because you need the Rory McIlroy to say, these guys are getting soft, like, they got to just show up for these amount of events, get serious.
You need the big boys.
But if you have the big boys on your side, everyone else falls into line because they're going, that guy, you know, Connor McDavid coming out, I believe it was him saying, like, I don't mind overtime being a little bit longer. Or was it Sid? One of the two recently said, extend overtime. They're the guys who have to play it, not the backup goalies or the seventh defenseman. So those are the guys who have to absorb some of the workload.
Well, even that is an interesting part of the conversation that isn't necessarily about growing the game. It can be, for sure, though, is the rules, is the playoff structure. Like, there's been a lot of guys, Brad Marchand just came out recently and said it's bogus, that basically he spoke on behalf of Boston, Toronto, and Tampa. He said three of the best teams in the league, and only, you know, one of them's going home in 10
first
days.
Round,
Sid said that, and there's been a number of guys who have said that.
Yeah, so take action. Look into it. But they keep saying, oh, Gary said last week or 10 days ago, he was like, everyone loves the format. It's highly successful.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is garbage. You're just ignoring.
Yeah, it's ignoring. Absolutely untrue. It is completely bogus, and Bettman knows it. It's just Bettman's stubborn and doesn't want to change it.
Or there is other owners or whatever. Like,
well, probably saying the owners love it. That's a good point.
Right,
but like, if Sidney Crosby says he doesn't like it, you cannot claim that everyone's on board with it.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, players and owners and stuff look at it. Owners look at things different than players, but you still have to listen to the guys who sell your product.
I still have not had anyone detail how this new playoff format has actually led to anything of significance. In terms of a rivalry or in terms of creating buzz or a
narrative.
Dude,
I'm not even going to give you a half-assed answer because it just hasn't done that. So it's nonsense.
No,
so stop it.
I haven't seen, and I understand there are people that advocate for it. Johnny is one that does. We'll have MJ on later in the week. Maybe we can bring it up.